right now, 30 years ago today, 30 years ago, the very first spam email was sent by Gary Thurk. He worked for an American computer company called DEC. The message went to around 500 users of the ARPANET, the forerunner of the Internet.
Digital will be giving a product presentation of the newest members of the DEC System 20 family.
Fascinating. And you'll be pleased to hear the sender of that first spam got into trouble. The Defense Communications Agency, which ran the ARPANET, telephoned Gary Thurk's boss to register a strong complaint. Fat lot of good it did. Spam is part of our lives now. It's a big part of Richard Jones's life in particular. Richard has collected every piece of spam he's received since 1997.
In the early days, you got sort of one spam a day, and considering it at the time, it didn't really occupy very much space. I just stored it, and I never deleted it.
What are your favourite bits of spam?
No spam is a favourite of mine, because I despise it. The fact that they only get sort of a 1 in 1,000 click-through rates just says, you know, this stuff is not interesting. There was one which advertising something called the National Cyber Detective Network.
Uncover anything you want to know about your neighbours, doctor, enemies, boss, friends, lover, or even yourself. Investigate anyone in total privacy. With this amazing new software program, you will be able to discover dirty secrets your in-laws don't want you to know. Or find out about yourself. Are you being investigated? The cyber detective will help you. Just run the software and go.
Princess Diana died just before this archive was opened, I think. And there's one particularly tasteless one, which is selling T-shirts with supposedly an anti-drink driving message, which is drink plus drive equals die, D-I.
She lives in you. She lives in everyone. As this horrific event has unfolded, we have learnt details that baffle, amaze and dumbfound even the most cynical of people. To make a statement and stand up for what you believe is not always easy. The best way to do this is to put your message right in the faces of those around you.
By and large, looking back at this stuff, it is quite depressing. It's not good stuff.
Does any part of you admire, for example, those plucky Nigerians who are constantly having lottery wins and trying to alert us to our share?
My name is Dr. Charles Obosa, Internal Auditor, Mutual Trust Bank.
You know, it's wonderful that they're so lucky. There's a very bad side to this, which is that people have, you know, ended up in Nigeria and bad things have happened to them as a result of this. So it's not all fun and games.
Can you imagine a world without spam?
Anyone who tries to sell you a solution to spam is either misguided or lying. There's a basic truth here. I run lots of open source projects, and I would like anybody in the world to email me about these open source projects. But at the same time, I don't want people to email me with spam. Now, there's a contradiction here. I want everyone in the world to be able to email me, but I don't want some people to email me. And you're never going to be able to resolve that contradiction without looking at email and saying, is this email a bad email or a good email? What we do now, of course, is we program computers to tell the difference between supposedly good and supposedly bad emails. And computers are by and large quite good at this, but they're only sort of 99% good at it, which means there's always miscategorisation.
Richard Jones on spam's 30th birthday. That's it. The radio programme's going off the air, but of course the blog continues. And if you have a story idea for next week's radio programme, please tell us about it on the blog. It doesn't have to be a fully formed thought as yet. We can do the work on it. You'll find the blog at bbc.co.uk/IPM. We're also available as a podcast, and being the bright person you are, you know how to work out that. Well, it's 5 to 6 now. We've just come off the air, and Chris, who left the studio a moment ago, is coming back in. He's just popped in from the PAIPM rap party, which we have every Saturday afternoon. Champagne, cocktails, canapés.
Makes Premiership footballers green with envy, our rap party.
I really enjoyed that. I loved your piece on net neutrality, which I hadn't really got across in the office until I heard it going out.
I was just so sorry we couldn't play the Ask a Ninja treatise on net neutrality, which I invite listeners to go out and check online, look it up, Google it, Ask a Ninja, net neutrality. It is wonderful.
Okay. What else did we do? I thought the heating oil stuff was interesting.
Yes, and that's interesting. That feeds into the map, because a lot of people on the map, are, you know, we've got these various categories, and they're saying, hey, what about this? And I think we've had a few about heating your home as a as an issue. So, so it's good to address that.
Sure, and we've had some emails coming in on the subject of heating oil.
Yeah.
Also, its carbon footprint. One listener suggested we should have asked about that, which maybe we should. So we'll see what happens on the blog. What are we thinking of for next week? I know as a result of something on PM, we may look at divorce. And how kids of children of divorced parents are treated by the system. That's a possibility. What else have you got in mind?
I've been taking a look at the police inspector's blog, written by somebody who goes under the name of Inspector Gadget, rather well, who patrols rural Shire, as he says. He's very unhappy about certain changes in the targets he's supposed to meet, a switch to something called citizen focus. So I'm going to try and find out a little bit more about that. I'm still at the very early stages. So if you're a police officer listening to this and you think I've got it all wrong, or you think that blog post is wrong, or you think he's right, get in touch, drop us an email, ipm@bbc.co.uk.
And the blog, in case you haven't heard about it enough, is at bbc.co.uk/ipm. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for podcasting.